Welcome into Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw here, and we have a great guest for you guys today, taking a look at some Knicks coaching candidates with Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs and the Spurs beat writer for News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29. Gavin, there are a number of candidates on this growing list of Knicks candidates that came from Greg Popovich.
Yeah, we were surprised. We were going to try and get each host on to do 2-3 minutes, Alex, but we realized, hey, four of these candidates are connected to the Spurs. Let's just have Jeff come on. He does a great job breaking it down, telling you why Ime Udoka might be the favorite out of the group, his level of experience and his emphasis on defense that the Knicks desperately need. Then Becky Hammond, why she is absolutely ready to be a coach. Jeff had some really good anecdotes from his time covering the team in person about what makes Becky Hammond so special. And then Will Hardy is sort of a dark horse. And Mike Brown, formerly of the Spurs, we get into why his resume might be a little stronger than you think and why he might be worth taking seriously as a candidate. And finally, touch a little on Greg Popovich and when he might retire. All that and more next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is all rebound. Back up off the glass. It's good. RJ Barrett brings the Knicks to the
win. What he does is contagious.
Oh, Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane. Knox foul from behind. Count it and one to Trier. Trier drives down. Oh,
becomes infectious.
All right, welcome in to Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw here, as per usual. And we have a great guest for you guys today. As we mentioned, we have Jeff Garcia, who is the host of Locked On Spurs. He also is the Spurs beat writer for News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29. Jeff, that is quite a illustrious bit of credentials there. How are you doing? How are you holding up during everything going on in the world? And, how are you doing in general?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to see the Spurs get back in action in Orlando next month, although it'll be likely short-lived. But nevertheless, good to see just some NBA action back. And, everybody who's listening in, keep washing those hands and wearing those masks because we got to get this virus out of the way. Because you've heard what's going to happen to media members who go to Orlando, gentlemen.
I just assume power baths and, like, toxins.
Exactly. From what I'm hearing, tiers of media, you have to be in the upper tier to just get into the arena, and then everybody else is in a workroom, and then you got to be locked in with the players for 3.5 months. And again, if you break the bubble, you're out. So, and they're not paying for hotel stays.
Oh, geez.
And you're staying on a resort, a Disney resort. So it's not going to be cheap.
Are you going down?
No.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No. I think even if I got offered it, I wouldn't even do it, especially knowing that I would have to pay my own way, which granted, you would hope then that whatever outlet that the people are working for are going to pay their way. I mean, like ESPN is owned by Disney, so Woj is going to pay a dime, guys like that. But I'm sure maybe they'll charge The Athletic extra for Shams to get down there or something, just to –
A premium on your next subscription.
Yeah.
But you think about that too. And I mean, is it worth it? I think I spoke to somebody with the Magic organization. No, I think it was, yes. And they told me that they're going to do Zoom conferences for people reporters who could not make it out to Florida. So I'm assuming, I'm going to hope that all NBA teams are going to be smart to do that for media that cannot make it, because that's a shiny penny you're going to be spending for 3.5 months.
Yeah.
Three and a half months of
nightly stays at a Disney resort. I mean, that's insane.
I almost think like that's almost in place to just discourage people from coming, and they sort of like acknowledge. Like, legally, I don't even think they can. I mean, like I mean, they could literally say like no media could come to the game, but it would be a really bad look. And obviously they want to have some level of promotion, but I feel like it's in the NBA's interest to, again, just make the bubble as small as humanly possible. And I know, I'm sure you guys have seen NBA finals coverage where even at the highest levels, like it's not quite Super Bowl, but it's so many people who don't need to be there are there.
And then with technology today, sometimes you wonder, is it really worth it having a media pass now with games and stats and other ways to get numbers?
Not during a pandemic. Not during a pandemic.
Oh, no. Yeah,
even just speaking generally, you can write so much stuff that doesn't even require any access. And, you know, all the quotes do sometimes is support that, you know, or help you make whatever point you're trying to make. But you can make plenty of good points without the access too. I mean, as someone who I got my first taste of access this year, and I mean, it's cool being able to, you know, interview the players and stuff, but I don't know it's necessarily 100% necessary to write good content.
Yeah, exactly. But I've been doing this for quite some time, and I remember back in the day where, going to games was key and sitting on that press row, and times have changed, that's for sure. And, you know, this pandemic is going to do the same thing for, not only just for the NBA, but for the rest of the sports league and how the games are covered. And, you know, look at UFC, you know, what, no reporters there in their fights. You're looking at post-game chats with the players. I mean, I don't know if you follow UFC. That's another sport I enjoy watching. But they have their media sessions on Zoom. So you see the fighter sitting there in front of his cell phone and just talking to the masses of media there. So I project that's exactly what's probably going to happen with the NBA in Florida.
Yeah, well, and hopefully going forward, it'll give another alternative to people that are, you know, not able to attend games in person or whatever, you know, people that work for blogs or just that are not in the general area of the, you know, team that they're covering can get some form of access, you know.
Yeah, going forward. I've been fortunate enough with the Spurs. They know that I'm out in New York City for most of the calendar year and then sometimes in San Antonio, but in those chunks where I am in New York City, they're really good about bring me on any type of telephone conferences they have or assets they may have on file. They can just send me, you know, so they're really good about that. But that took time for me to develop that type of relationship with them.
Yeah. That also is dealing with an organization that is not as stonewalled as the Knicks, as we mentioned briefly before we started recording.
Hey, well, speaking of the Knicks and Spurs, you guys kind of want to dip into that pool of talent, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just about to change subject too, but you're a pro too, man. You know how to change those gears. We wanted to talk about, I mean, the main reason we wanted to have you on today is to talk about some of these other head coaching candidates that the Knicks are, you know, bringing into the fold here. It initially looked like it was going to be maybe a 2 or 3 horse race with, Tom Thibodeau, Kenny Atkinson, and Mike Miller, the incumbent interim coach, were the main three candidates. And I still think they're probably the three strongest candidates to potentially end up with the job. But there's some pretty good candidates, I think, and the Knicks certainly seem enamored with the Greg Popovich coaching tree, which I can't fully blame them. I mean, he's like maybe the best NBA coach of all time. Mm-hmm. The one that I was most interested in talking about first, I think, was Ime Udoka, who actually is a Sixers assistant coach now, effectively their defensive coordinator, but he spent his first number of years on the bench under Greg Popovich and then went to another Popovich disciple in Brett Brown. So what's your general feel for Udoka? Because he seems to me, based off of things I've read and things of that nature, that he's out of the sort of upstart candidates for the Knicks, he might be the one most ready to take over an NBA bench right now.
Yeah, not to mention, too, he played for San Antonio as well. So he understands to be on the opposite end of Greg Popovich's teaching as far as a player is concerned. But you're right. His star has been rising pretty fast considering, you know, he started out as an intern with the organization as soon as his playing days were over and then was bolstered to the first seat before he left to Philadelphia. Look, he has teaching under Pop. He has teachings under Brett Brown. And, you know, he's been, like I mentioned, he's been a player. And he's also led the team, whether that be in summer league games or even practices, et cetera, et cetera. What I like about him is that he's tough as nails as a player and he's tough as nails as a coach. I would watch him coach during, whether it be open training camps or just practices. And, you know, he's getting on the guys. You know, he's as if like he's still in uniform. So I think he's going to bring that real life, that hey, I'm not too distant from my playing days to being a coach and get what you're coming from, potential New York Knicks players that I'm now coaching. So, and also too, look, you know, it's going to be a common thread with the with these candidates we're going to be talking about from San Antonio is that, look, there's no secret. The Knicks, they don't have that great reputation right now. And if they're going to start somewhere, why not start with somebody like Udoka, Becky would talk in a bit, and maybe Hardy. Then dip it into that franchise, San Antonio, and plucking something that gives them a foundation. Now, obviously, in my opinion, guys, I think you'll agree with me, I think the foundation for any winning organization is at the top, and that's talking ownership and management. That's a topic for a different story for you guys. But as far as on the coaching bench, yeah, why not get somebody like Udoka who has that pedigree? He's been there with the Spurs winning titles. He knows what it takes to have deep playoff runs as a coach. And I think he could bring that to New York. And what I like about him, though, I think he's of the candidates of San Antonio, he's more ready-made right now to be an NBA head coach. And look, he's got to have his break sometime. And why not in a big market like New York? We've seen it before. Look at Monty Williams, another top disciple. Same path as Udoka. And he goes to what I think the then the Hornets, or the Charlotte Hornets. And, well, before they moved to New Orleans, you know where I'm getting at. And his stock has risen. Now he's with Phoenix. So all in all, I think Udoka is kind of a no-win. I'm sorry, it's a win-win situation, excuse me, for the Knicks. You get a young coach, and you get a young coach that has that San Antonio pedigree.
The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. That is lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. In addition, if you are a Locked On Knicks listener and would like a platform to either promote a protest or, you know, just speak about your experiences with systemic racism in this country, please feel free to let us know. Hit us up at Locked On Knicks on Twitter or LockedOnKnicks@gmail.com, or speak to Gavin or I personally on Twitter or wherever you can. So just know that we're here for you as well at Locked On Knicks. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. Gavin, growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of my morning and of being a kid. But, you know, in recent years, I've had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you shouldn't really eat. As it turns out, Lucky Charms are magically delicious, but not magically wonderful for your waistband. a lot of sugar, a lot of carbs, all that stuff in there. I have been trying to cut down on, you know, carbs, sugar, unhealthy foods, and I realized I basically can't fit sugary breakfast cereal into my diet anymore. Gavin, I don't know. I mean, my breakfast lately, I cut out most sweets, I think. You know, most of my breakfast now has been lean protein, you know, and doing eggs and, you know, maybe like turkey sausage, stuff like that. But I haven't really been able to find much room for breakfast cereal anymore. What's your usual morning routine?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I went years and years and years without eating breakfast cereal for that very reason. And like a year and a half ago, I sort of got back into it, but I really struggled to find consistently healthy breakfast cereal, like even like the organic stuff with like nuts and like it says all the right things on the cover. You flip it around and you look at the sugar and you're like, there's way too much sugar in here. So I've gone to oatmeal, which is great, gives you a good start to the day, a lot of energy, but it doesn't really hit that craving. There's something about cold cereal, Alex, for me, a little bit of oat milk in there that like, I want something refreshing. Like I'm a little dehydrated after waking up. I need that burst and not something like oatmeal is just kind of heavy. It sits in your stomach. I've been desperately looking for a cereal that's not too sweet, still healthy, but kind of hits that nostalgic note of what I loved growing up and what I looked forward to every single morning.
Well, you're in luck because that's where Magic Spoon comes in. Magic Spoon. Their cereals have zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. Comes in 4 fantastic flavors, and we were just, you know, checking it out before the show. And you can get it a variety pack of all four. So you can try all four flavors of cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. And on top of it, it tastes amazing. And honestly, it seems too good to be true. It's also keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Gavin, I know you're picky with your diet, so that will be fantastic for you.
Dude, this I'm ordering right now. This is crazy.
Yeah, I am also about to place an order. I can already foresee the frosted flavor probably being my favorite, mimicking, you know, frosted Cheerios or something like that. So definitely looking forward to that. If you are interested in getting some Magic Spoon cereal, and why wouldn't you be based off all that great information, go to magicspoon.com/MBA to grab a variety pack and try it out today. And be sure to use that promo code MBA at checkout to get free shipping. Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you find that you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. Again, that is magicspoon.com/MBA and use the code NBA for free shipping on your order. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
Two of the other people I was really interested in getting into with you, Jeff, were Becky Hammon and Will Hardy. And I'm interested to hear how you like parse their two candidacies, because obviously two very different backgrounds, but
yeah.
In a lot of ways, two of the more exciting and more unknown of all the candidates the Knicks are interviewing. Obviously Hammond, a longtime star with the New York Liberty, considered incredibly cerebral. I can't remember if she's the first or second female NBA assistant coach. I believe she was the first, right, guys?
She was the first, yes. The first, yeah. At least full-time, I think.
First full-time.
Yeah.
Right, so, and legitimately one of my favorite players growing up. And then Hardy, sort of similar to Udoka, except he didn't really have quite the same playing background. Played at Williams College, started off as an intern, then got to the video room, coached the Spurs Summer League team for 3 years, and has sort of been a consistent rising star in the Spurs organization. I believe hired as an assistant coach, front of the bench, the same year, actually the same day Tim Duncan was before the 2019 season. So I guess what I'm asking, Jeff, is how do you sort of separate those two, and which of those two, I mean, coming from two distinct different paths, is the more exciting candidate for you?
Well, let me start off with Hardy. I think he's more the long shot as getting the gig in New York. Very young. I think he's 31, 32 years old. Just been on that Spurs bench as an assistant coach for 4 years, which is considerable. But, you know, for the job like the Knicks, I think you need somebody with more experience who's been through the wars on that court, whether as the head coach or a first assistant head coach. He's not there yet. I think it's a good thing that they're reaching out to San Antonio, which they did give the Knicks permission to speak with Hardy. I think he's just not ripe yet. He's getting there, and I think he will get there soon enough. You know, the same path as we all heard, video coordinator goes up into the you know, on-hands coaching and then makes his way, same path. But again, not quite seasoned enough for the job at hand in New York. The pressure, he's never had to deal with the pressure of the media. You know, the media pressure with being that head coach, you know, your name, your head is on the chopping block. So, if things go wrong with the team on the court. So not quite there yet, but still, I mean, what a compliment for an NBA franchise to reach out to him and the Spurs to get permission to speak with Hardy. So I don't see him ultimately getting the nod if the Knicks want to go that route. Hammond, that's interesting. She's interesting because, look, the Bucks chased her a couple of seasons ago, and they were going to ask, you know, she was right there. It was between her and Budenholzer for getting the gig in Milwaukee. They ended up giving to Budenholzer, another former Spur. And so her stock is on the rise, and I think it's plateauing. Something's going to have to give now. Here's the issue, though, in San Antonio. We could talk about Hammond and Hardy and Udoka all you want, but everything revolves around Pop because you don't know what his future is. And we've already seen a couple of past assistant coaches kind of get to a point where they couldn't wait any longer. Budenholzer, he was the heir apparent for a long time. He's going to be the next one to take over for Pop. Well, he took off and got a head coaching gig, which you cannot blame him. I think it was in Atlanta. Same thing for Ettore Messina. Ettore Messina was seen as the heir apparent for Popovich. He did his time. He paid his dues in San Antonio. Pop still wanted a head coach, and he left back overseas to Italy, where he spoke to Italian outlets saying, yeah, I left because I wanted to be a head coach again. So I think Hammond is in the same situation. She is the first assistant coach on that bench. She is ready. She's been there, done that. She's dealt with the media in San Antonio. She's played on that court, so she can relate to the players. She has a respect across the league as far as the next head coach to take a reins for any NBA franchise. She has her experience in New York working with at the time with Dolan, when I think he did own the Liberty at the time.
He did, yes.
Yeah. So she's ready, and she understands what the New York media is about, the New York Knicks are about, the franchise organization. She has that pedigree in San Antonio. She's ready. She led the Spurs Summer League team a few summers ago to the Summer League title. So she's a firecracker, and she will get in you. Case in point, before the hiatus, gentlemen, and I don't know if you all recall this, but it was clearly a situation where Pop had to hit the replay button. It was obvious. I don't forget the team, but Becky was out there at half court just kind of getting in Pop's face saying, what are you doing? You know, why are you passing up on a chance to hit the replay button? He didn't want to. She convinced him. He did it. And lo and behold, boom, it was a wrong call by the refs, reversal, Spurs ball. Those little things like that, they tell me that she's ready. If the Knicks decide to give her the reins, talk about a coach that is just going to give you everything that Pop's giving you right now and then some. If you watch games, you just go back and you go on YouTube, you can see him. She's more vocal on the court than on the bench than Pop is. So again, Knicks give her the nod. That's going to be a great hire. And again, you're starting fresh with a brand new coach. And yeah, she's going to make her mistakes. But I think whether it be Udoka, Hardy, or Hammond, all these young coaches are going to make their mistakes. But you got to just roll with it. And Hammond, she's ready. So if she were to leave to New York, I couldn't blame her. It's a big market, probably going to be a big payday. She's been courted by NBA teams. She's been courted by even college teams to take over their head coaching spot. Gentlemen, if the Knicks go with her, congratulations.
Let me tell you guys about the single most useful app on your phone. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more when you don't have free time. You can't read or work on personal development. There is an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. If you've been listening to this podcast, because they've been with us for a while, you already know what it is. It's Blinkist. Blinkist is super unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading a lot of books, Alex. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that info right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you was meant to read but never quite had the time to. Alex, I've been talking about this forever. I've loved my experience with Blinkist when exercising. For the last week, I've been house-sitting for someone in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and in doing so, I've gotten a lot of cool opportunities I usually don't get in the city. I've gone on these long dog walks where I often get horribly lost, and normally that would be a bad thing, but with Blinkist, I've enjoyed the process of exploring these rando neighborhoods, maybe looking out for a member of the Washington Wizards here or there, because I've been finishing multiple books while I've been doing it. I've also been taking advantage of a little basketball hoop in the driveway here, honing my game for when quarantine is over. And it's so exciting to get to read The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein while I do it. I'm listening to what makes a great athlete. And I think I'm taking some of that in. I'm not quite dunking yet, Alex, but I'm getting a little closer. I'm starting to graze rim a little bit. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
As of right now, Hammond, I think, is one of the only ones that has been rumored by a couple people but has not officially had the interview, but which is kind of interesting because, if I'm not mistaken, I think she actually did get an interview the last time that the Knicks were hiring a coach, point, she was also in the mix in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Where Budenholzer ended up going. Budenholzer was apparently in the mix for the Knicks as well, and so was Hammond for the Knicks the last time around. It's an interesting situation with Hammond too, because I do think that it's been interesting to see how people are receiving it, the news that she would potentially get it. I think everybody can agree that she is a good candidate, and I do think that there's something like somewhat, and this is maybe like a whole topic of discussion itself, especially given everything going on with the world right now, but I think that there's kind of a weird discussion going on with her candidacy among some media people, where they're like, no, it's better if the Knicks don't even offer it to her, because like, save her from the Knicks or whatever, save her from that aura of, I guess, the media here and the microscope she'd be under and that sort of thing as the first woman head coach in the NBA. But I don't know. I think it would speak a lot to the Knicks if they would hire her and take that chance and disregard the fact that she's, the first woman head coach and not really hold that against her.
Yeah, you can't really look at her as a female in this situation. She's just an NBA coach. That's
exactly
all it is. Yeah. And you look at this, the roster of the Spurs, from Rudy Gay to Lonnie Walker to Derek White to Pop himself. For the most part, without saying it, they're all saying that she's ready. It's she's going to be the next one to leave if she doesn't stick around long enough to take over the job in San Antonio. I really wish Pop would give some sort of clarity on his future. He's 70, 71 years old. He still has to finish out this remainder of season in Orlando. He still has the next Olympic Games to deal with. He's getting up there in age. And look, if he can still do it, I know age is nothing but a number, but there's going to come to a point where he really has to consider his future. And he's earned it, to walk away when he's ready to walk away, to anybody. But just for this next phase of San Antonio's franchise chapter, I think I would like to see that. Look, the Spurs are not going to be the Spurs like they were during the Big Three era. That those days are long gone. There was hope with Kawhi, but we all know what happened. So now you got a bunch of unproven young guys on this roster. Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, and then their draft picks from last year. Where are we going with this, Pop? Are you going to stick around enough to get their development going? Or should we bring in a younger coach who relates to these younger players? And maybe your time is done. I think that's been kind of on the mind of a lot of Spurs fans. But that's where Becky fits in, because Becky would slide in easily, seamlessly into that role should Pop step away. You also factor in, too, Pop, lost his wife. That pretty much is a blow for him. I'm pretty sure it still bothers him till today. But nevertheless, you got to wonder, what's Pop going to do? I think that's the billion-dollar question right now for this franchise moving forward. Is Pop's future, and can this team regain its glory from past years?
Yeah,
go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, yeah, no, I was just going to say, it's something I've been thinking about a lot. Like, Pop's, probably my favorite coach in any sport of all time. And I always thought like he would the U.S. would go win a gold medal and he'd retire on top of it. So now that's delayed a year. So he's going to have another year. But to your point, it doesn't seem like he has any notion of quitting immediately.
Yeah.
He hasn't really said anything. And it's this weird situation where, the time for him to go out on top obviously would have been either after 2014, or he had two or three more years of runs and then go out with Timmy in 2016 or 2017. And now it almost feels like he's overstayed a little, but just in terms of peaking. But he's objectively, in some ways, still a great coach. Obviously, emotionally, still a great coach, still a great basketball mind. And in these other ways, the Spurs are weirdly falling behind, where they were sort of ahead of the rest of the league in the three-point revolution. And now they're sort of the team that most plays 90s basketball, even maybe more than the Knicks, who are universally considered the laughing stock of the NBA in that respect. But sorry, Alex, what were you going to get into?
Oh, I was going to say, Jeff, do you think that there's a chance that given how outspoken Pop is on social issues and things of that nature, that he might be kind of – that he might have a plan in the next couple years, and that he's maybe informed – like maybe has sort of informed Becky that he plans to step away and you know, anoint her the new head coach or whatever? Or I don't know. I just feel like it would – knowing how Pop conducts himself publicly, I think that there would be a part of him that would want to be the guy who passed the torch to the first woman head coach in NBA history, and one who is extremely qualified on top of it. Like, it's not a token hire at all or anything. Like, she's just a damn good basketball coach.
Oh, I think you just said it right there at the end when you said she's just a damn good basketball coach. He's made it very clear he's not out coaching or in this league to make history, referring to Becky's possibly becoming the first NBA head coach / female. He's not in the business about that. He's made it very clear when he's been asked about that during pre-post game media huddles. So in my opinion, should he decide to bow out, I think that's simply what's going to be. Just very Tim Duncan like when Duncan left, he just posted a message on the Spurs website, exited. I think Pop would do the same thing too. He's always mentioned that he would love to go out when Timmy went out, but that didn't happen. Supposedly, it's because he gave a word to LaMarcus Aldridge that he'd stick around when they're recording him when he was a free agent in Portland. But I thought that's the way he should have gone out with you. His career got jump-started, his coach's career, that is, because of Timmy, and then they go out together. And now they're coaching together right now on that bench. So, by the way, Tim Duncan, I don't think he'll be coaching any, you know, maybe this could be a one and done for him. I don't see him making this a career. I think he did it for a favor for Pop because of what happened this past summer with Messina leaving and Udoka leaving. Pop just needed help. But that's an aside. To me, gentlemen, it just makes sense that Becky slides in. But I'm not holding my breath about that because I've seen this before in San Antonio. I mentioned three names, Budenholzer, Messina, and Udoka. Those three guys were thought of as the next guy, or next coach, excuse me, to take the reins. That didn't pan out. And that's why I don't blame Becky if she decides to leave to New York or whatever vacancy is out there. So, no, to answer your question, Pop's not out to make history. You know, trying to pass that torch to the first female. I don't think that's what he's about. He's just about Becky can do the job. She's going to take over and we're done. You know, good coach. You know, I don't think in his speech it'd be, if he does make a farewell speech, be, okay, now for me to make history, here is the first female coach. You know, I don't think that'll be his way. It'll just simply, oh, by the way, Becky's taking over. Okay, thanks for the memories, everybody. I'll see y'all down the road. And as far as his political statements, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's some times where I don't want to say I cringe, but I'm like, ah, Pop, you know you're going to get blowback for this. You know, you got to watch it. But look, he's been very vocal on one end with his comments, and he's also been vocal on the other end saying he doesn't care. He doesn't care if he gets the blowback. In a New York Times article, he mentioned in that interview that Spurs fans were turning in their tickets because of what he was saying. And again, he said he doesn't care. He says that he has support from the upper management, that they haven't told him to tone it down. I don't expect him to tone it down at all. Bigger than basketball. That's all you hear if you follow the Spurs beat is from Popovich. Bigger than basketball. What are we talking about here, guys? A brown ball goes into a circle and you get two points. He says that constantly.
Yeah, that's what I've always loved about him, Jeff. That's kind of why I'm such a big fan. And I guess to wrap up, one final candidate, not currently on the Spurs staff, but he was in the Spurs, so we're gonna have you talk about him. Mike Brown, who to me is sort of an interesting case because in my mind, I just naturally think of him as like such a bad coach. I'm like, he wasted LeBron. On the other hand, he and this comes courtesy of the Knicks Film School newsletter I got in my email today. Everyone should subscribe. Friend of the show, Jonathan Macri. His 61.6 winning percentage is the highest of anyone who is not currently coaching, and obviously not including Phil Jackson, who is seemingly retired. And he has the 8th best winning percentage of any coach ever to coach at least 500 games. And in some ways, I feel like he doesn't totally get the credit he deserves, because you look at LeBron's early teams in Cleveland, and those rosters were just barren. And given that, he did a fairly good job, got them to the finals in 2007. There are some marks on his resume that are pretty good. Obviously, the situation in Los Angeles was kind of fraught. I don't think you give him credit for being great there. I don't think you can really blame him for being particularly bad. Now he's gotten even more seasoning under Steve Kerr in Golden State. Do you think he's a guy who's gotten overlooked for jobs and blacklisted when weirdly he was – relatively successful, or you think it's sort of been right that he hasn't been a head coach?
Well, no, I think he deserves another shot, and I think he's been kind of lost in the shuffle, and I think his negatives outweigh the positives, but that's pretty much life right there, gentlemen. What do they say? You do 1,000 things right, you do one thing wrong, everybody will harp on that one thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's the situation Mike Brown finds himself in. He had success in Cleveland. He did. He really did. And I know you differ regarding, you know, his wasted time with LeBron, but I thought he did a pretty good job, all things considering. And then I think he had a cup of coffee with the Lakers.
It was like a half season.
Took over for D'Antoni for the year they got up the Sports Illustrated cover with him, Nash, Powell, and Dwight.
Yeah, that's not his fault. He didn't put together that team. He took over halfway through, and that's D'Antoni's style of team. Mike Brown is a defensive guy. You know, I think he would really bring that defensive mindset to New York. I think he, you know, he obviously has the Spurs slash Popovich pedigree. That'll help too. You mentioned the stats right now. That's going to help too. I could, when it all boils down to it, if it's just Spurs, ex-Spurs candidates, I would really see kind of between him and, if the Newsday report is true, that she's in the running, Hammond or Brown or Udoka. I think it'll come down. I discount Hardy. I just think he's not ready yet. But those are the top three, I would say, of the Spurs branch that have a good shot. And, man, of those three, I would even – if Hammond is in the running, then I could see her definitely being offered.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, I think that pretty much wraps up what we were looking to talk about. So thank you so much for coming on and, you know, giving us the insight on these candidates. I mean, I know I could say, like, I know some about some of these candidates based off reading about them and stuff, but you don't really know about assistants generally unless you talk to people that are around the team constantly, and you certainly are with the Spurs working a million different places, a million different hats.
Let me tell you this, but Becky still can play. I've seen her in practices. She can still ball with these guys. So she could really bring a hands-on approach to the Knicks should they go that way. But if the Knicks go in the direction of the Spurs brain trust or that knowledge that they bring to pretty much all NBA teams, look at what happened just recently. Who am I missing here? Memphis guys. Blake Ahern. Blake Ahern leaves the Austin Spurs, the Spurs G League affiliate, to Memphis to become an assistant coach. So mm-hmm. There's something there in the water in San Antonio that equals success.
Well, same with Mike Miller. Mike Miller was the Austin Toros coach before becoming the Westchester Knicks coach and then eventually rising up to become the interim Knicks coach. So
Quinn Snyder as well out in Utah. Mm-hmm. So if the Knicks are smart and they really want to revamp and start things on the right foot moving forward, then by all means, they cannot go wrong with picking any of these former Spurs coaches.
Certainly. Jeff, do you have anything that you are looking to promote other than obviously Locked On Spurs, which if anybody's interested, definitely go there to check out some great Spurs content.
Yeah. And by the way, because we know that the Spurs are likely going to have a quick trip in Orlando, we're really, really trying to struggle for content over there. So please forgive us. But nevertheless, Locked On for all your Spurs needs at Locked On Spurs. Locked On Knicks, you guys know. David Locke has us everywhere. I mean, seriously, pick a platform. Locked On Spurs and Knicks are there. Subscribe wherever you find your favorite podcast, and go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com, where you can find out what Lonnie Walker is now doing to raise awareness of sexual abuse. It's very powerful what he's doing now in San Antonio. Go check it out at the Spurs Zone.
All right. Yeah, thanks again, Jeff.
Not a problem, guys.